All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fuck nicks? What the fuck stirs? What the fuckettes? How's it going? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast, WTF. You chose it. You chose it. You made the choice. This wasn't random. You weren't just spinning a dial. You said, hey, I'm gonna choose WTF with Mark Maron. Thank you. Good choice. Good show today. How are you, man? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm just talking about me again, and I just want to know, are you okay? How's the transition back going? Are you seeing people that you love? Are you going to work yet? Are you eating out amongst people? Are you smiling with your face in full view? What are you doing? Are your eyes still scared, or is your smile hiding it now that we can see it? What's happening? Are you okay? Is it overwhelming? It is overwhelming, isn't it? It's very overwhelming. I don't want to get nostalgic for back in the day when everyone was doing nothing and just sitting around being frightened all the time. But outside of the exhaustion of maintaining that much fear, there was a sort of relaxed quality, you know, where time didn't have form. There was, you know, we're not hanging time on anything. There was nothing to hang time on. So it just kind of was nebulous and kept moving. And the only thing that was sort of determining time was checking your phone to see how things are going in the world. Bad. What time is it? What day is it? Are things okay? Is it all ending? Where are we at? The only thing that determined time. I do find that a little of that is there's a residual vibe around time for me anyways. And maybe my brain's going soft. I don't know. But I'm still unclear about the parameters of time, like time I'm supposed to do things. I know when I'm supposed to get things done by, kind of, but there aren't that many things like that. But each day, I don't know. I'm still not hanging time on much. And I know I have things coming up, but I can't seem to process them or know that they're coming up. But I've always sort of been like that, just surprised at my schedule every day because I didn't see it coming, even though I could just look at it, commit it to memory. But I think innately, I know that causes too much dread. For me, anyways, it's just the way I live my life. I can't recommend it to anybody. It's always jarring to realize, like, oh, Jesus, I have something I should have prepared for a little bit, and it's happening in an hour. I had no idea. I kind of did, but I didn't know it was today. That's only amplified by the fact that we didn't have a lot of that over the last year. Let's not forget, it was a rough year. You all right? Today on the show, Anthony Carrigan, an actor. You probably know him as NoHo Hank from Barry on HBO. He was nominated for an Emmy for that role. He was in Gotham, Bill and Ted Face the Music, and he's now in the upcoming movie Fatherhood on Netflix. But the thing is, he's got a very fascinating personal story that we get into. And he's one of these guys, Anthony Carrigan. When I first met him, I think it was at a SAG Awards party. It was some Netflix event at the Roosevelt Hotel. And we met each other. I could not believe he was not the character. And, you know, he obviously really has alopecia and he has no hair on his body. But it was so hard for me to adjust to the fact that he was just a guy. And, but once he was here, we had a great talk, man. It's a life that was not without challenge because of his particular condition. But he's also from New England, the Boston area, which I always kind of get a kick out of my time spent there. So we were able to connect on that. But great guy. Great to meet him. And it was great talking to him. And I will share that with you momentarily. But there has been some update. Look, here's the thing. And I'm sure someone has said this before, but it dawned on me with all this, you know, chatter about the existence of UFOs, and perhaps the military has been sitting on this. I don't, you know, whether or not they exist or not, for me, is not the big question. For me, the big question is, why do they always fucking leave? You know, if they're around, they clearly just hover for a minute. They don't hurt us. They don't help us. But something makes them go, you know what? This planet? Nope. Not nope. Gotta go. I don't know if they're checking on us and they're disappointed. I don't know if there's nothing that they could use here for fuel or food or experiments, or they're just sort of like, you know, this isn't going well. There's no reason to stop here. not even for gas, not even to sort of shut, not even like for a pit stop, like a nap. They just go. That's the bigger question. Not whether they exist, but how come they don't hang out for a minute? What did we do? Why don't they like us? Why doesn't anyone in the universe like us? And I think we can all answer that question. I think you can find the answer to that question maybe in your own home. So look, I've unleashed the powers of my fan base to find out more about the Lynn Shelton painting that I acquired, okay? If you guys don't know the story, where we're at now is a guy up in Seattle went to an estate sale, found a painting, big painting, by someone named Lynn Shelton, decided to alert me of it. I paid for shipping. He gave me the painting. It's a huge, beautiful work on paper that was done in 1983, which would have made the Lynn Shelton I knew, you know, just out of high school, and this looked like a deeper undertaking than that. And it turns out there was a Lynn Shelton who was a painter. I looked him up. There's one auction block website of a painting from 1965, an abstract, but not the type of abstract that I have. There was a partnership with Carl Springer Furniture, where he did some painting on paper that was put on furniture, which is still available at the gallery. Carl Springer still exists. Carl's dead. But that was really all there was. So I said, can anyone help me figure out more about this guy? I'm starting to know more about this guy than I knew about my girlfriend who passed away. So this is for Lynn Shelton Painter from Mali. Hello, I'm a WTF pod fan. Heard the last two episodes wherein Mark speaks of trying to track down the Lynn Shelton who did his new painting. This probably won't be helpful, as I have attempted internet searches in the past to track my old college painter Lynn Shelton have not succeeded in finding anything. While an art student at Sonoma State College, now known as Sonoma State University, 1969 through 73, Lynn Shelton was one of my teachers. He lived down in San Francisco, had a very cool art studio where he did his own artwork. I don't recall his work well, but I think it was abstract. I believe he also made some art films during that era. Okay, so that puts that gives us a guy who had a job at a college, right? So is that it? That's all that Molly could give me. But then I get an email, genealogy of Lynn Shelton painter. Hey there, this is Sarah, sent me this email. I work for the New England Historic Genealogical Society in Boston, Massachusetts. And I did some digging into the painting by Lynn Shelton. So she mentions the New York Times article where he did the work with the furniture guy, Carl Springer. And then she looked up Lynn Shelton in newspapers and found a few listings of his work in galleries. She reached out to the Oakland Museum Association after, she says, I located an article from 73, which stated that Lynn Shelton's minimal abstract work was being showcased. She hasn't heard back from them yet. Then she searched a telephone number for Lynn Shelton's studio that was in the New York Times. She found it was located at 478 West Broadway in New York. But she says no Shelton was listed at this address ever. He's probably just subletting, leasing it, whatever. Then she said she turned to the note in the New York Times article that stated Lynn Shelton was a professor of fine arts in California, located a Lynn W. Shelton living in Petaluma in 1974, Petaluma, California, an assistant professor at California State College, which would jive with Molly's time there. But she said the directory for 74 showed no mention of any Sheltons. Might have been an adjunct professor, she thinks. Then, this is interesting, located a marriage in 1963 for Lynn W. Shelton to Mary Fenner in L.A., California. Couple divorced in 73. Next time she finds Lynn Shelton, he's living in New York and then moving to Vermont to marry Sachiko Kusachi, a Japanese immigrant. The couple marries in 83, divorced in 94. And then she said she lost track of Lynn Shelton after that. And there's a death certificate, There's a death of Lynn William Shelton, 2009. As she said, it's recent, so the only way to determine if it's actually him would be to order the death certificate. It also seems, she said, that Lynn W. Shelton didn't have any children. She says she's 85% positive that this is him. Then she called the guy I talked to at Carl Springer, at Carl Springer Gallery, who said the same thing he did to me, that he had lost track of Lynn in 94. What Lynn Shelton was doing between 94 and his death, I don't know. The painting I have is from 1983, but there you go. That guy been around, had a life, and that I think that's about all the information we're going to find. And it's satisfying, but it's kind of odd what you can put together with some diligence and with people that are willing to do it. There's sort of enough of a life there to kind of maybe construct a story, right? Wild. Anthony Carrigan, very funny and very poignant and a great actor. His new movie, it's called Fatherhood. It's starring Kevin Hart. You can stream it starting this Friday, June 18th. And this is me and Carrigan talking, chatting it up like a couple of fuckers from Boston, though I just lived there for a while. Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe that once we start doing things that time would start making sense again, but it still doesn't seem to.
No. In fact, I think it's got even stranger.
Really? What's going on with you?
I don't know. You know, my wife and I, we took it really seriously.
Sure,
you know?
And of course. So there was no other way to do it.
Exactly. And, apparently there fucking is. Mm. But yeah, we took it really seriously, and so just time just melts, you know, when you're in the same spot over and over again.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, it's a luxury to, you know, just be dicking around the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But still, yeah, just yeah, the days just all blended into like one.
I know. I still don't know. I'm still all fucked up.
Yeah.
And I started doing comedy again, and I just, in my mind, I'm like, you know, we've got to reckon with the reality of this weird traumatic event. But then it's fucking with my head because, like, your brain does want to just, like, put it behind you and compress it into this weird.
Yeah.
But we're not out yet. It's this weird gray area.
No. Do you feel like you have like the rhythm still, you know, with the audience?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's coming back.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, like, I can feel that. I think I might be overfeeling it. I think, like, I'm getting off stage for, you know, these limited audiences, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was fucking great.
Yeah.
but also, I find that, like, we're socializing again.
Yeah.
And I find even then I'm sort of like, what's going on? You know, like, there's a...
Yeah.
We're here, man. We're talking in person.
I know. Yeah,
I know. It's weird.
It's all happening.
Excited.
I mean, I got, like, got into it, I think, a little bit too early. I did this promo for HBO.
Yeah.
And it was
For Barry?
No, well, it was for Barry, but yeah, it was more like to kind of correct the rollout for HBO Max.
Oh.
Because no one knew what the fuck HBO Max was.
I'm still not sure what it is. I know that.
Exactly. My mom said the exact same thing. She was just like, so wait, I don't have it though. Like, you do. You have HBO. Yeah. You just need to kind of, you know, find a way to stream it. You can stream it on your computer, you know.
Sure, or on your phone. Right. I get it, but at first it was like the app was kind of shitty or something.
Right. Well, it just, they didn't do the rollout for it correctly. So essentially what ended up happening is, you know, they wanted to do...
They brought you in to correct the rollout?
Yeah, they brought me. Exactly.
Get Carrigan in here. He'll fix it.
He'll fix it. Exactly. So we did these promos, right? And it was like, you know, it was like 6-7 hours, but I hadn't been around anyone.
What during peak COVID?
When during peak it? COVID. Well, it was like, it was maybe like 6 months ago.
Oh, right. So you've been locked up.
It was weird. And not to mention this, the weirdest thing happened to me while it was going on, because it was just me and like the camera was on me and I was riffing with this other guy, but I'm, you know, he's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, supposed to be calling people from this like call center, letting people know that they have HBO Max.
Were you doing the character?
Well, that's what the funny thing was. They were like asking me to do the character, you know, and I just wanted to be me. but they were like,
don't fuck up your brand, man.
But they at a certain point, right?
Yeah.
I was doing this, and everyone stopped.
Yeah,
and didn't move. It's like, it was like I was in Disneyland and every animatronic just like powered down.
What happened?
And didn't move. And everything was just still. And I was like, I got so freaked out. I was like, guys, guys, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening? And then they were like, okay, cut. And what they wanted was they wanted my reaction to like a genuine just kind of like...
Freaking out?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's, I mean, that's what ended up happening. It was like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. It was like everyone just stopped.
They played you?
They played me. Yeah, I was scarred. But then I just went home and I thought about that for like the next 3 weeks because I had nothing else to do but replay that shit in my head.
So, but even though you know it happened, it's still creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still very creepy.
And everyone's afraid. You're in the middle of a pandemic. You don't know if, like, is this a new strain?
Exactly.
Am I the only one alive now?
that might have been the case, honestly.
I couldn't believe. That's, like, crazy, man.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was a very weird reentry.
Did you guys shoot a third season?
No, not yet. We're going to.
It's going
to
happen?
It's on the books. I mean, we're, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully going to do it soon.
So were you slated to do it? During COVID?
Oh yeah. We're in the midst of kind of doing table reads and then they kind of
in March.
Yeah. And then they were like, well, we're not really going to do that anymore. And I remember that first table read we did because we had heard about it a little bit and we were like, do we not hug
or
do we just shake hands?
Are we sick?
And I remember like I shook everyone's hand at the beginning and then leaving, I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to, yeah. Like, I have a feeling that I'm just going to, you know, Irish goodbye this thing, you know?
Yeah. Is that a thing, an Irish goodbye?
Oh, yeah. It's when you just leave. You just leave without telling anyone. Aren't you from Mass?
No, I lived there for years.
Oh, I lived there for years, yeah.
But I never heard Irish goodbye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's when you just disappear and people are like,
you
hey,
just disappear.
I guess he left.
Yeah, you just, I mean, it's kind of great because no accountability whatsoever.
But they just decided they're not even going to try to shoot it with protocol, huh?
Well, oh, with what?
With Barry. They were just sort of like, we're just going to wait.
Because
like Glow, they just ditched event. They waited months, and then they were like, we're never going to be able to shoot this.
Yeah, well, I think they didn't want to kind of sacrifice the integrity of it, you know?
Right, so they hadn't rented space or anything. They hadn't really, you know.
No. Well, it was all set to go, but then they didn't want to be the kind of, like the guinea pig of it all, or the test, you know, the test one, just to kind of see how it was going to go. And honestly, I mean, I haven't heard of a single production that hasn't been shut down.
After they start,
yeah.
That was happening, yeah.
Yeah.
We're still talking about a fucking virus that you can't see. It's microscopic, so like the zone thing, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
But I mean, but if it's around,
you would think,
I don't know, we're all speculating, we're all fucking scientists. Like, someone has to really breathe into your mouth.
Right. That was one thing. And then like the next week, they'd be like, actually, if you're 20 feet downwind... And you, like, you know, and then you inhale too deeply, you're probably going to get it. I mean, it was conflicting every 12 hours.
And after a certain point, you were like, well, it's like any other fucking virus. You know, if it's around, you're going to get it or you're not going to get it.
Yeah, totally. Well, my goal was not to get it.
Did you get it?
No.
I didn't either.
My goal was, I mean, I was like, I don't care what it takes. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it.
Man. How'd you guys live?
I mean,
your wife's a chess champion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you play chess?
I mean, we played chess. Yeah, we played chess. I mean,
did she teach you? Did you know how to play chess before?
No, not really. Chess always gave me serious anxiety.
I know how to move everything, but the idea that there are strategies bothers me.
Well, you know what's the interesting thing that I've learned about chess in terms of my wife is that the...
What's your name?
Gia.
And is she like Gia? What's her last name?
Olympic.
Okay, so she's like a world champion.
Well, she was like, you know,
tournament
pretty, pretty high up there, you know, in terms of European players. But, you know, she kind of stopped playing and she's, you know, just kind of enjoying life now. I mean, I think it's one of those things, disciplines like that, like ballet, you know, classical piano. It tends to like...
Do you get rusty?
You're all or nothing. You're either living, breathing it, going, you know, slightly mad with it.
Right.
Or you're just kind of like, you know, you can do it every once in a while.
Well, my brother was a kind of a professional tennis player. And he taught. The funny thing is those people who do that, who go all or nothing, and then eventually, like, I've had enough of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm done. But, like, if anybody else wants to play them, it's fucking over.
Oh, yeah.
In their sleep. Like, ping, pow, boom.
Oh, no, exactly. Exactly. And, like, I mean, she'll just, like, hand my ass to me on the chessboard. And she doesn't even mean to. She tries to go easy on me. And it just doesn't work out still. But the interesting thing that I've learned, though, is that, like, the way you play chess is very indicative of how you live your life. right?
Like, so, I it seems like one of those games, like golf, where there's metaphors.
Yeah, there's metaphors for sure.
It's okay, explain to me how.
Well, okay, so there's, you know, there's like beginning game or opening, and then there's like the mid game, and then there's the end game, mm-hmm. right? And some people have their strengths opening right up, but then can't finish it.
Right.
Some people are really good at the very end, but like just are a mess to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, some people, depending on what their piece, what their favorite piece is to move, can tell you a lot about yourself.
Really?
People who like bishops tend to be very sneaky bastards.
Really?
Yeah, very kind of like,
but these,
you know,
are people that know how to play the game. For me, like, I know how to move everything, but I don't know I don't know strategy one, zero, nothing. So it's this big improvisational mess. A good player could beat me in three moves.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, for sure.
So what does it say about me? Well, that I don't know how to live life?
No. No, look, I mean, well, you know, I can't be the judge of that, but no, I mean, I think like it, if you were to kind of learn a little bit more of the basics, and you'd probably see like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm like, I'm so for instance, if you're nervous about attacking another, you know, if you play very defensively, then that tends to be how you live your life.
Huh.
If you're like reckless and you're like, eh, let's go over here. I don't know. Yeah. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. I'm reckless and I always lose.
Yeah. Listen, not a bad way. You know, not a bad way to live your life. You learn a lot that way.
I'll say. So it was so funny because when I met you, when I first saw you on Barry, I really assumed that you were that guy.
Yeah. No, a lot of people are pretty taken aback, you know, when I just start using my normal voice.
Where did I meet you? At the Roosevelt?
I think at the Roosevelt. Yeah, at the little bowling alley thing.
Yeah, because we were there for, what, Netflix or something?
Yeah. We sat down on the couch and you were like, how's it going? I was like, I'm good. You were like, oh,
what the fuck?
Wow. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Normal guy.
Yeah. I know. Everyone wants their money back, you know? They want the accent.
When they just meet you, you're like, oh, shit.
And they're like, oh, geez. Where are you from? Boston. Oh, God. No one cares. Oh, all right, cool. Yeah, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, man. Oh, yeah. Do you want a photo? No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm good now.
But what part of, you come from right in the city?
No, just outside it.
Which one?
Winchester.
Winchester,
yeah, which is you know, it's a very pleasant little suburb.
I have played every one of those dumps. No, I've been all over New England. I spent so much fucking time in those towns, learning how to do comedy. Winchester, why don't I know that one?
Winchester.
What's it next to?
It's next to Woburn.
Oh yeah, Woburn. I know.
Arlington.
Oh yeah,
Cambridge.
Cambridge.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, there's a ton of gigs in Cambridge, you know.
Well, no, but there was these one-nighters everywhere. That's how we started, where you go out and do a one-night gig at a pub or a bar. There wasn't one in Woburn, but there was one in Arlington. And there's probably, like, you know, Saugus, all those places.
Yeah, Saugus, yeah. So I mean, I never fit in my town, though. I, like, did not. Like, it's a huge sports town. And I played sports growing up. I grew up playing hockey and soccer and a bit of lacrosse. But I was a theater kid, you know?
Right.
I was a theater kid. And you really can't do both, you know?
I found that there is a type of human in New England that is unlike anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. There's different strains
of
it.
All right, what's the classification? I got to hear.
Well, no, there's just a very specific type of American townie in the area surrounding Boston.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to say it's bad,
no,
but some of them are. But there's definitely a sort of like, go fuck yourself. You know,
no bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
I notice that whenever I touch down Logan Airport, like my hackles go up a little bit. I kind of get ready to just brawl, you know, with someone.
Just and right when you get off
just
the plane.
Just as soon as exactly. Like, you know, I'm getting a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and they'll be like, you know, do you want vanilla with that? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you. You know, everything's confrontational.
There is a tone. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I say cream two sugars. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. You have a great day. You have a great day. Thank you.
Does your accent come back?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you have to consciously get rid of it?
No, not really. I mean, it was never super heavy with me growing up.
So how many brothers and sisters do you got?
I got two older sisters.
And what's your family's business?
Well, my mom was a nurse growing up.
Yeah.
At the Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Oh, right over in Alston?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And And let me see. I mean, my sisters, you know, they're just...
What about your dad?
My dad was actually... I mean, he worked in publishing for a while, but he was also an actor, too.
He's an actor?
Well, he was like... he passed away probably about, like, years ago now.
Oh, really?
But, Oh, it's okay. I mean, he was a great guy. Really, really, really talented. He did mostly regional theater stuff, but the guy had serious talent. And you know, he's how I learned all these accents.
Were they together the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So,
but he died young or...
No, I mean, he was a bit older when he had me. I think he was like 50 when he had me.
Oh, okay. Not that that's...
And,
well, that makes sense.
exactly. I had a pretty good, you know, good childhood. They were really supportive of me being an actor, which is great.
But I just like, it's so hard. Well, that's good. But like when you talk about Boston, it's just like, I can't imagine... Like, I went to college like some sort of, you know, upper middle class puss at BU from out of town.
Right.
But I like when I met people that grew up there, especially, and you're like, you know, with the name like, you know, Kerrigan.
Yeah.
You're kind of, I just can't imagine the process of coming of age in that. Oh my God.
I don't know.
WBCN.
Yeah. WBCN, WAAF, you know, like those.
Yeah.
I mean, it was classics, you know, or Jam in 94.5.
Yeah.
You know, like all those. Yeah. The jams, man. But you know, it was a strange place to grow up to, obviously, because, like, you know, I was certainly different as a kid. I mean, I grew up having alopecia, right?
Right.
Which is my autoimmune condition, which is why I don't have any hair, you know?
Right, but was it a gradual?
Well, yeah, it was a gradual thing. So I started out with what's called alopecia areata, and so it was like just little spots.
When did you start noticing it?
Well, so I was diagnosed with it when I was 3.
Oh.
But I never really knew. I just knew that people would kind of look at me funny and kind of, you know.
Oh, the kids
little
got
kids.
Cancer.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I mean, there was a ton of just, you know, parents who'd come over to my parents and be like, what's wrong with him? You know, just like, really just, to, you know, no, like, just like, what's his deal?
You have to see that.
What's your kid's deal?
And
you know?
In their confrontation with like Boston, they're like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with Anthony? What's wrong with him? Huh? Does he need to get out of the pool? Because I see that he's like shedding in there like crazy, you know? And, you know, I don't know. I didn't know how to like, you know, deal with it. So, I mean, so I essentially just kind of covered it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I got beat up and teased and bullied.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
By the monsters?
No, by the kids. They're little bastards.
Did they do it with that accent?
I mean, some of them did, yeah. What's up, Baldy? What are you doing there, Baldy? Huh? What are you doing? What are you, like a bald eagle? Huh? But like, yes, the yeah, worst. Super creative. But no,
so
but
funny.
But like, but yeah. So you know, I was kind of different.
Yeah.
You know, from the outset.
And, yeah.
And I wasn't about to fit in. So I was pretty happy to just get out of there.
But did you? Right. But I mean, like growing up, did you have a couple of friends and stuff?
Yeah.
And,
no, I definitely had. I had friends. I mean, I would kind of hop around. You know, different, more like artsy crowds.
And when did you lose all the hair?
I lost all the hair when I was in my mid-20s. It was actually.
So not in high school.
No, it was not in high school.
But how many times did people think you had cancer?
Well, I kept it pretty well hidden, you know? That's the thing. So, like, I'd be, sometimes the wind would blow and people would be like, dude, what's wrong with your hair? You know? Like, oh my God, are you all right? Like, I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine, you know? Just like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. Like, why are you missing a chunk of hair? And I'm... You know, I just...
they're so straightforward. No one's going to pretend like nothing's wrong in that.
They're like, Tommy, get over here. Look at Kerrigan's hair. Look at this kid's hair. You know? it was hard.
What, you were just coming over these random patches?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Oh, and also, like, hoping to God that no one would you know, would notice or make a big deal out of it. I was terrified of it.
But you'd have to, would you have color your eyebrows? What'd you do?
Well, my eyebrows never really went that much in my, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But when I, in my 20s though, so I get out of school, I went to school for acting.
Yeah.
And like, of course, I mean, I have alopecia, I choose to be an actor. It's like, I choose the most like vain industry, is shallow industry
What do you make of that?
Well, I think when I was a kid, I was super shy.
Yeah.
I was really in it, like in my own shell.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that had to do with my alopecia. Like I didn't want to be seen by anyone. you know? But at the same time, I did also have this need, this want to like express myself.
Right.
You know, I wanted to, I had a voice and I had something to say. And I found that when I got on stage, I could kind of, whatever.
I'm like
wearing, I'm wearing like a stupid costume. You
right.
know?
Well, that's right. So you could put on a head.
Yeah, exactly. I can put on, exactly. I can, you know, I can put on a wig
yeah.
or, you know,
sure.
whatever.
I mean, and, that makes total sense.
And so, yeah, when I was, you know, when I got out into the industry, I was kind of, you know, I had like hair down to my shoulders. So I had
but where'd you go? So you in high school, you did plays and stuff?
Yeah, I did plays in high school.
And people like, so that was your world?
Yeah.
The
yeah,
theater
and I loved
nerds.
It. I
and
loved it.
And you also
it.
Played sports, but you weren't that
I, well,
into
I
it.
Stopped playing sports pretty much as soon as high school started because
right.
I was like, God, this sucks, you know?
And also like there's a more sympathetic crowd, more human bunch.
Yeah, everyone's
in the
so
theater.
Much more accepting.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And kinda, also just better parties too, you know?
It was more fun.
Way more fun.
You
oh,
just
yeah.
had to hope the monsters didn't come.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, they did. They did actually. No, there was a brawl at my buddy's house
oh,
one time where the monsters showed up.
What happened? There they like, are.
Yeah,
there we go.
Oh my God. It was my buddy was throwing, you know, what yeah. turned out to be a total rager.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was like, you know, it was just me and some pals and I had a girl in from out of town and
yeah.
we were just all hanging out and then all of a sudden my buddy disappears and when we see him next, he's crawling inside. He's blood all over his face.
Oh my
he's
God.
Like, they kicked the crap out of him. And then they come in and start smashing everything. And I mean,
did
I
you
think,
know him?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I knew all of them. I knew all of them. I was like buddies with one of the kids who I, you know, ended up like beating the crap out of.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you showed them?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
At that night?
Yeah, that night.
So
yeah.
you got into it?
Oh, I got into it, yeah.
And
oh, I scrapped, yeah.
Oh, you were a fighter.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
No, but that time.
I mean, yeah, that time I was just like, you know, I went to kind of, I don't know, I went into a mode.
Well, good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
I don't know. I
you
wouldn't
do that once.
Well, you got to, yeah. It's good to kind of
I've never done
learn
it, like,
about
and I
you
regret
learn a lot
it.
About yourself. And also, anytime you're in a fight, I don't care what it is, you always feel like a 5-year-old kid afterwards.
Right.
You always do.
Like in the way of like it's bad, sad.
You're always just
mad.
Like, no, just like breathing heavy and yeah. you're like God, you know, just like don't do that. Like, which just don't, you know, don't push me, man.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's got that kind of like quivering kind of thing underneath
yeah,
them,
sure.
and it's just everyone's just trying to build an exterior on top of that,
right?
You know,
they ruin the patty.
Yeah, they totally ruined the patty. We had such a good vibe going, you know. yeah, people are gonna come up to me like, do the accent.
Yeah,
be like, oh, no,
no
and they're like, no, Boston one, man.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You get you known for something else.
Exactly. But
that's what kills me about that. You know that bit that Casey Affleck does on SNL?
Oh yeah,
it's so perfect.
It's so perfect.
Like that guy, he's one of those guys.
Yeah,
he's hiding that
totally.
It's like we.
I feel like it's just, you know, it's a part of everyone who grows
oh,
up there.
God.
And you either run away from it or you embrace it, you know?
But that thing is just so good.
Yeah.
It's just...
I know. But anyway, oh yeah.
yeah,
so I was in my mid-20s,
right.
just out of school, and... You know, I was like, things were going pretty well.
Dude,
but
wait, sorry to interrupt
no,
you.
No,
but
it's all
did
good.
You... Where'd you go after high school? You studied acting.
Yeah, I studied acting at Carnegie Mellon.
That's like
in Pittsburgh.
That's one of the big ones.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's the oldest conservatory in the country.
And you did really, like 4 years there?
Yeah, I did 4 years there. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was, you know, so much fun.
Now, what were you doing? Were you doing all the stuff, like comedies, musicals?
Yeah, I was doing, no, not
dramas,
musicals.
No musicals.
No, just dramas and comedies.
Learning
and,
your chops?
Yeah, learning your chops. And you know, when I was there, I was just like, I'm just going to be a stage actor my whole life. But then, you know.
So when you were doing it there, where did you get proficient at? Did you have your own wigs?
Well,
ever?
No. So I mean, it wasn't ever that bad when I was in college. It
in terms of you still had hair.
Yeah, I still had hair enough to cover it up because
okay.
I had really long hair, and so I could kind of you know color okay. it in, and you wouldn't really be able to see it. And
right.
a ton of people just didn't know they couldn't
yeah.
see.
Right.
And it didn't progress until a few years later.
And that takes us to what you were saying. In
yeah. So, well, it just so happened that I booked my first big series, right? That
oh, yeah.
brought me out to Los Angeles.
Right, right, right.
And I, yeah, and it all within, out of like a 9-month shoot, I lost pretty much half my hair.
Which, now that show, what was it called?
The Forgotten.
Oh, yeah, The Forgotten.
Yeah.
So, do you think that some of the the hair loss was from the stress?
You know, they say that it's not stress related because, like, your immune system, you need a strong immune system to, like, attack itself and to succeed. Because what it is like your body thinks that there's something wrong with it.
Right? Yeah.
And so it attacks the hair follicles and you're just kind of like, well, you know, there's nothing wrong there, but it attacks the hair follicles, so it falls out.
Oh, but now, but that's very specific. So, but your immune system otherwise is okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's weird. Great. It's very specific.
Yeah, it's very specific. It's very specific.
But it enabled you to get the vaccine before everyone else?
No. Oh. I mean, yeah, I was, you know, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, could I? And they were like, no. No, back in line, kid.
But look at me.
Yeah. No, I'm not about to pull that card.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it was a trip though, because I was.
So it's falling out.
Yeah. Well, also I was just, you know, this was the thing that I like was hoping to God would never happen.
Right.
I was so terrified of it. I was so terrified of people actually noticing it and seeing it, and the fact that it all started going was just my worst nightmare happening. And then the producers found out. The producers were really sweet about it, and they were really helpful. And they got a wig maker, and I got these, like, fake eyebrows. And you can kind of tell a little bit. But in the back of my mind, I just knew. I was like, I can't do this forever.
For your whole life?
Yeah.
But for the series you did.
For the series I did, and ended after one season, thankfully.
So you lost everything in the one season, your hair.
Well, no. So then, okay. So I used this stuff. It was essentially like using poison ivy on my scalp.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it's like imagine like a group of firefighters who think a house is on fire.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Right.
And so they're just causing major water damage.
Right.
So what you do is you light a fire down the street.
Yeah.
You know. And so they're like, oh, look at that fire over there, and so that gives it enough time for the house with water damage to kind of, you know, be okay.
Dry out. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what you do. And so it was
like a cream that was,
yeah, it's like a topical
to...
ointment, yeah. But it was awful. I looked, yeah, like Freddy Krueger. I mean, it was rough.
Yeah.
And but it did get my hair to grow back, huh, for a time.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone was kind of like, all right, well, I hope this works. And it did work, but then it all started falling out again. And that second time that it fell out, I was like, I don't know what to do. You know, I was like, no. I'm screwed. And this was all I'd planned for.
Yeah.
You know, this is all I really wanted to do.
But you knew it was coming, the hair?
Well, when it grew back?
No, or? But I mean, like, when it fell out.
When it started falling out again, I was like, oh, man, so this is going to be rough.
So you thought the things you knew were you're not going to be the wig guy.
Yeah.
It was too much.
It's too much, and also, you know.
It looks weird.
Like, some people choose to do that. I'm pretty involved in the alopecian community.
You are?
Yeah. I mean,
alopecian? That's,
yeah,
what they call it?
Like, yeah.
It's a country?
I mean, yeah. Welcome to alopecia. Yeah.
Yeah.
but no, we're you know, pretty tight-knit community. And
in Hollywood or in general?
In general. All over the world. Because when it happens to people, everyone starts to lose, like, you know, not just their kind of hair, but their confidence,
right,
and their sense,
yeah,
their,
yeah,
sense,
yeah,
of identity. You start to wonder,
so you must,
like,
be like a hero.
Well, I feel like I've come out on the other side of it now, you know?
Well,
and it took me a minute to do that.
Well, I can't imagine it, because vanity is so much what, you know, so many of us are about.
Yeah.
That without, you know, this illusion.
That's the thing, yeah.
You know, you can kind of make decisions about who you are in the world by having control over how you look or who you think you are.
100%. And the thing that people don't realize is that, in a weird way, I mean, it's kind of a gift to be given that kind,
yeah,
of insight.
Yeah.
Because once you realize that, like, oh, this doesn't matter at,
yeah,
all. This, in fact, like, you know, everyone has something about themselves that they just wish they could change.
Sure.
You know, they wish, yeah, they could not have.
Right.
And, you know, they live in this perpetual state of, like, waiting to be something else,
yeah,
you know, waiting to kind of, well, once I kind of get rid of that,
right,
or
yeah,
fix,
yeah,
this or,
yeah, yeah,
whatever, then I'll be happy,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is that
they'll never be happy.
Is that you're never going to be happy.
No matter
I'll
what.
I'll say this again. Listen to me. You're never going to be happy. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
No. No, the key is that, like, you're going to be happy once you essentially find a way to just kind of, you know,
accept,
be cool with yourself,
yeah,
and accept yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, for a long time, I held on. Like, I held on to those few little pieces of hair I had left when it was all falling out, or those eyebrows or eyelashes. And I was
just
holding
clumps
on to this other identity. Yeah,
wow.
This other identity, until I just decided, like, I'm just going to shave it off And then it all started to go anyway. And I decided I was going to rebrand myself, you know?
I was like,
in my mind, I can play aliens and I can play monsters and that's it. But I might be able to get a couple jobs.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how you were looking at it?
Yeah, that was how I kind of viewed myself. I viewed myself so otherly.
After a certain point, you could take a role where you could use wigs or prosthesis or whatever. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, that's part of what show business is.
That's true. But at the same time, I kind of wanted to. I was so pissed and I was so angry at the kind of rejection that I had and the comments that I got from people, from the adult monsters who were like, I'm so sorry, but this is not going to work for you. You're not going to succeed. It's not going to happen. I'm so sorry. It was almost like it was coming from a good place in their heart.
Look at yourself.
And they were like, yeah, I mean, you're not attractive anymore.
Yeah.
It's not. I swear to God, that's, I mean, I was told this, you know, it was like a mercy killing on their part. And I was like, I was so angry that I was like, watch me. I'm going to make something of this look and I'm going to show all of you just how far I can get.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing it. I'm in the process. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the character that really kind of like introduced you to the world is hilarious and unique and and like, you know, and very odd.
Yeah. And very odd. Yeah.
And funny as hell. You know?
And it's funny too, because now I'm like, I don't know. No one really is like, dude, why don't you have eyebrows?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
It took like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it took... Yeah. Those first 10 minutes, though, I could see you just being like, oh, I don't know about this dude.
No, I mean, I wasn't that worried, but it is a thing.
Yeah.
Now, well, I got some questions that it's like, because I was thinking about... how we perceive ourselves. It's interesting that you had clumps of hair that didn't really... That couldn't have looked really good, but they made you feel better.
Yeah, well, they symbolized like a past identity that I was trying to hold on to.
I can't believe more people didn't think you have cancer.
Well, funnily enough, when I was 21,
yeah.
I was actually diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So my 20s were...
You had a jump on the look then.
My 20s were a weird time.
Yeah.
So I was diagnosed at 21
with testicular cancer. Oh my God.
And that was, you know, it was a lot to kind of go through. And then a couple of years later, my pops got diagnosed with cancer too. So it was I was throwing a bunch of curveballs.
So you got it treated?
I got it treated, yeah. I got a couple of surgeries and, you know, one doctor said that I should go through chemo. The other one said I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon a bunch of like Native American medicine men who gave me a healing for it.
Yeah.
It was a pretty wild experience.
So no chemo.
No chemo, thankfully.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the clear.
Oh my God. How old are you?
16 years. I'm 38.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Man, so that's a lot to take.
It was a lot, but you know, it's when all that stuff happens, you kind of and I think, you know, there's a reason why you see people who have been through like a bunch in their life, way more than I have,
right?
And somehow they're living their best life. You know what I mean? They're getting on stage in front of tons of people, just letting people know like what a beautiful gift life is, and it's because I think they were able to like. You know, use whatever was thrown at them and kind of alchemize it in this weird way to learn what life is really about, you know?
So let me ask you something before I forget it, because I seem to be hung up on it, about the Alopecian community.
Yeah.
Are there people on the down low?
What do you mean?
Like hiding their alopecia?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's got to be
big time.
Like so many people, right?
Oh, there's a ton of people who hide it from pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
And live in fear that they're going to kind of be found out.
With makeup and wigs and stuff.
With makeup, with wigs, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes me sad because a lot of them are just kind of missing out, you know. Missing out on like going and jumping into the ocean or you know, just kind of feeling... comfortable enough in the bedroom to like take their wig off with their partner, you know, and wigs are uncomfortable, they're itchy, and
but that's it's an odd thing about balding, even to some degree, that you would think like at least, you know, go out on the weekend and, you know, just, you know, go full bald, right?
Yeah.
And then if you got to go back to work, you know, and it makes you feel better. But why would you? You'd get to a point where it's sort of like, this is ridiculous. I got to put the wig on the eyebrows every day for work.
And I know. Well, and some people get to that place, and some people don't.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to deal with. So I mean, I try and kind of preach, you know, somewhat like Tony Robbins at times, yeah. where I'm like, look, you know, there's an opportunity for you to kind of just like to just embrace it, to take this look and not just be okay with it, but actually enjoy it and
right.
be like, hey, this is actually a cool thing. It's a stylistic choice, you
yeah.
know, to be hair free. You know?
So what are you finding happen? Like, when did you shoot this Kevin Hart movie?
This Kevin Hart movie we shot, let me see.
Before the
Not
thing?
This last summer, but it's summer of 2019.
So a year ago, 2020. Right, so March 2020 is when we locked down.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, so,
yeah.
Okay, 2019.
And that was a great experience. I'm really excited for people to see Fatherhood. It's such... And well, what's cool about it is, I mean, just personally, I'm like, I'm not playing a bad guy. I'm just playing like a normal dude, you know, who's like his Kevin Hart's work buddy.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really great movie, well-directed, Paul White's, and I had a blast. So it'll be coming out.
Now, they didn't get it to me soon enough for me to watch it, but does Kevin, you know, call you names or?
Oh, no. Okay. No, thankfully.
Does he bring up the alopecia?
No. I mean, that's
said.
No. What that's cool is like, it's kind of just normalizing it. I'm just his, you know, just his pal.
Yeah.
And it's like me and, you know, Kevin, Little Royal Howery and Alfre Woodard. I mean, a fantastic cast.
Yeah, I like Little
Royal. I was just a normal dude. So I think that's the key, is like normalizing it.
Right.
And I get messages all the time from people being like, hey, I just saw you on this thing and it's just cool to see someone out there not hiding.
Right.
You know? And that kind of can shift people's
from
own
the,
perception.
That's from the alopecia community.
Yeah, yeah, from the alopecia community.
Isn't there a British actor that's got the alopecia?
Didn't I see him?
I saw him in something with Rebel Wilson. Why can't they were roommates? I can't remember.
Matt Lucas, yeah.
Yeah,
Matt Lucas. He's a genius.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is like, but also that's his thing. Like, he's got such an iconic look, you know?
Yeah.
And he really makes it work for him. So that's what I think.
You're on your way, man.
Yeah.
You guys are the primary.
Oh yeah,
alopecians.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great bunch, and honestly, everyone who's got alopecia is.
Do you know
excels.
Some people in our community that have alopecia, and they're it's on the down low?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to expose them.
No, of course not.
but yeah, I do, and I've become the guy who people call and just be like, hey, so I noticed I got a spot, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, so we'll just talk for a couple of hours about how they're doing. Because it's a weird thing.
You mean when they start losing?
Yeah, when they start losing their hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
it throws you for a loop. And you wonder how bad is this going to get.
Right.
You know? Or
But like, does it always get all the way bad?
No.
I mean, not bad.
No, it doesn't. No. But, you know, it doesn't always get all the way, you know,
right.
like lost.
Gone.
So it's a real roll of the dice.
So do you still have some?
I've got peach fuzz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, peach fuzz, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm like silky smooth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're not shaving it?
Nope. I'm not shaving it. Don't have to. No. Yeah. My wife is pretty jealous of
that. How you don't have to shave anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So what about your sisters? Nothing?
No, nothing. No.
How does it happen? Do you know? Did you investigate?
I mean, this is a medical show. I don't. The whole thing about autoimmune conditions is that people just don't know. They don't know what causes it or what the gene is or how it works.
Right.
But if there was a cure tomorrow, I would turn it down.
Right.
I would be like, no thanks.
Really?
Yeah.
If someone said, take this, you get your hair back?
Nope. No way. I mean, I don't think HBO would be cool with it either. If I, you know,
but you can always like get rid of the hair.
I mean, kind of. I have dreams about it, though. I have dreams about my hair growing back,
it's a bad dream.
My immediate thought is, I can't wait to shave this off. I swear to God, I love it because I now feel so liberated by it. It's like you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I mean, so what are you going out for? Like, you just go out for regular roles.
Well, I'm
and they know when they say, Anthony's going to come in, and they're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Tell him to bring his bald head in.
Yeah, bring his big old bald head in here, and, you know, we'll see if it works. I mean, I am kind of like a, you know, very specific... You know,
no one's
going to
go like, who?
Yeah.
Bald guy from Barry.
Yeah, bald. Oh. You'd be surprised. A lot of the time, that is what it's kind of shortened to. It's like Anthony Carrigan. What? Yeah, bald dude. You know? Noho Hank. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That dude's hilarious.
Oh, you're going to be in a Farrelly Brothers movie now.
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. But what have you been going out for generally?
Generally, I mean, I still go out for a ton of villains. But, you know, I think it's more fun to kind of stretch myself out in different directions.
Right.
You know, and so it's...
What do you want to do?
I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know. I thought I kind of knew, but I'm really...
What did you know when you thought you knew?
Well, what I thought I wanted to be was just kind of, I don't know, just limiting it to being like an action star or you know, being in like these big budget things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of shifting and thinking about like... Now wanting to be, I don't know, just wanting to be in like cool, good moving projects. And it's weird to think about it in that way. I just want to be in stuff that moves people.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
And but do you have, I mean, it seems like comedy is good.
Yeah, comedy's good. Comedy's hard though. Comedy's hard.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not a comedian. I don't do my own.
You know though.
I don't. The idea of doing stand-up scares
not
the crap
but
out
not
of me.
Stand-up, but I mean, you have good sense of humor.
I mean, I try to, but it's written that way. So I feel like, I mean, you know, we mess around with improv a lot, but...
Right, but we're making fun of the Boston guys, and that's true. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, but they're sitting taggots right there, you know? Come on, that's like low-hanging fruit. I mean, I don't know.
I know, like, but like that, but the guy that you put, what is his name?
Noho Hank, yeah.
I mean, that the whole timing of that guy and everything about that guy, I mean, you had to delegate or sort of decide about that accent and how to use that accent comedically, whether you do it on purpose or not.
True, yeah.
You know, it's got its own timing and you know it's happening.
Yeah, it's a real science to like... just miss the mark with certain sayings. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to completely miss it, but you got to just miss it, you know? You know?
And that's written in or you have
some of it's written in and some of the time, you know, we just riff.
Who writes it?
So it's Bill Hader and Alec Berg.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Hader's so genius. He's so funny.
He's so funny, man. He's so funny. But again, like... When I'm doing a panel with all of them,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm not a funny guy, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like just a normal, just kind of actor, and you know.
Yeah.
But when I'm on set, I feel like I can kind of turn it on.
Yeah.
I can turn it on pretty easily.
Yeah. The accent thing kills me.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun to play with.
Did you have to have a coach?
In the beginning, yeah. Because
what is the accent?
It's Chechen.
Chechen, yeah. Okay.
So it's like Russian, but a little bit more in the mountains.
Right.
A little bit more hard to pin down.
Yeah. So you had one of these dialect people come
in? These dialect people come in and kind of, you know, work on all the specific sounds. And then, you know, eventually I just got to the point where I could kind of go through my script and just mark up and be like, all right.
Did you use, because like I had to do a Houston accent recently. And did you have like a key of words?
Yes.
That you kind of could play in your head to get the sounds going in your mouth?
Yeah. So, I mean, there'd be, you know, like the first line that my character has is like, hey, man, you know?
Yeah.
And like, whenever I would get lost, I would just come, I'd be like, hey, man, you know?
You'd find it. Yeah.
And that first day was hilarious, too, because that was my first line. And that was the first scene that we shot at the pilot. And I knew that it had, you know, kind of gotten a good response because everyone started coming up to me being like, hey, man. And I was like, oh, God, all right. You know, somebody putting my mic on and the sound guy was just like, okay, man, you know, just really like slide it in.
Have you heard from any Chechens?
No, not yet. Which is kind of a scary thing, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, I mean, if they're not talking to you, then you got to wonder, like, what they're what they're thinking.
It's
you
not
know?
Landing.
So I well, gotta... yeah. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, it's.
I'm surprised.
Hopefully, people are enjoying it.
Yeah, you would think that if the Chechens didn't like it, they would say something.
Right, or just show up to my house.
Yeah,
in the middle of night, show up to house. You know, be very quick about it. You know, he's a very funny man. He does not deserve pain. You know, take him out quickly.
Eventually, one of them will come up to you. Like they'll be like, "I know you."
Yeah,
my friends like you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's
come
dead.
To my house. Yeah,
yeah. I'll show you what it's really like.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, that's gonna be the fun time.
You like tattoos? I give you tattoo.
So now you don't have kids, right?
No.
And how long have you been married?
Let me see, 3 years.
How'd you meet the chess player?
Well, we met on the subway in New York City.
I think I read that, but I don't know. Yeah. What is that? How does that work?
Well, so it was like the hottest day of the year.
In New York? York. So it's all muggy and disgusting?
So it's all muggy. It's like walking two blocks is just the worst.
Right.
So it was at the Broadway Lafayette stop. I walked down into the station. Yep. Walked down to the station. And I saw her standing there. I was like, okay, wow, she's really attractive. But I didn't want to be a creeper or anything.
Right.
So I kept my distance, right? And, you know, we got on the car. She was kind of checking me out, too. And
this is when you had no hair.
Yeah, this is when I had no hair. Okay. And then I got off at the, you know, next stop. And I realized that I'd gotten off a stop too soon.
Yeah.
And I started walking up, and I was like, oh, God, no. There's no way that I'm walking an extra six blocks to wherever I'm going.
Right.
So I just turned back around to get back on the subway platform.
The train
and then I turn around to get back on the subway platform and I see that she's standing there on that, you know, this new platform. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I got to say something.
You know,
I have to approach her.
Right.
So I did. And I was like, you know, I messed up. I got off on the wrong stop. What about you? And she was like, oh, I was on the wrong train. I was like, oh, okay. Well, and then so we both got on the next train. We started talking.
Yeah.
She told me she was a professional chess player. And it's hard not to have a good conversation when that's your answer, you know?
How did you riff on that?
Well, I mean,
just be like, oh, chess. So like, yeah.
I think I was just like, oh, chess, I'm horrible at that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And she was like, oh, well, you know, it's actually like a pretty easy thing to pick up once you start to open your mind to it. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, I got her number by the next stop.
Did you go buy a chess book?
No. Oh. I was I wanted lessons from her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, sure, yeah.
The real deal.
Right.
And I think it was like the next night. Yeah, we were kissing on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh,
yeah, it was really
that's
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
And now you're together.
And now we're together, yeah.
So you say that she's pulled back from the chess scene.
Yeah, she's pulled back from the chess scene. She's trying to kind of like shift gears and figure out, you know, I mean, obviously how to apply her knowledge.
Has she written a book or anything?
No. No, but that's a great idea.
Like, what about that whole analogy that you have? Was that her?
No, that's her, yeah.
Yeah.
That's her. Like in terms of how you live your life
and
you know, on the chessboard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's so indicative of it just tells you so much about who you are. And
you could also teach people to play chess that way.
Yeah, you really could. Yeah.
She should do a TED Talk.
She should.
Yeah.
I mean.
Let's get her on the phone.
Let's call her right now.
We've got it figured out for you.
Yeah.
You're going to do a TED Talk and then write a book about how people's lives, they live them like they would play chess.
Yep.
And if they don't know how to play chess, this is your easy system of how to start playing chess.
Listen, you're obviously going to get commission for this book.
No, I'm just trying to help people.
No, that's a great idea.
But
that's
like when idea. You guys during the lockdown, I mean, how did you play a lot of chess?
We played a decent amount. I mean, I think like we were both very, you know, great partners in this in this pandemic.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, she's from Serbia. Serbia was bombed.
She's from Serbia?
Yeah, she's from Serbia. Serbia was bombed by the United States in, you know, 1998, 1999. And she was there for that.
My God.
So she was in a bunker for like, God, like 70, 80 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Her family?
Yeah, and that was how she learned how to play chess.
Oh, my God.
So she learned how to play chess.
In a war zone.
In this very kind of like, I mean, you know, this environment where you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this saying that she, I mean, I'm not going to say it in Serbian because I don't know it in Serbian, but it's essentially... what you must do yeah. is not hard.
Right, right.
And that was what was kind of applied to this situation.
Right,
where
right.
she was just like, look, this is what we got to do.
Right.
So you can either bitch about it or you just do it.
Adapt.
Yeah, you just adapt and you make this your life.
So that's so funny. In my brain, like I'm thinking Serbia, that was, the conflict was between the Croats and the Serbs,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
there was like, yeah, that Serbia was accused of ethnic cleansing and
right.
you know, it was like a big mess. I mean, I've tried numerous times to learn all the intricacies
yeah.
of it. And it's just so, it goes back so far to like the Ottoman Empire. And I mean, it's just a very deep, deep, deeply entrenched history.
And where's Chechnya in relation to everything?
Chechnya is like just adjacent Russia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Russia adjacent.
Yeah. It's yeah. all up there somewhere.
It's all up there. Yeah. It's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, does she go back to Serbia?
Yeah. I mean, we've been back. Yeah.
Really?
We've been back to Serbia. And
was that the first time you were there?
It was the first time I was there. Yeah.
How is it?
It was great.
Really?
Yeah. It was so much fun. I mean, they know how to party, that's for sure.
But Croatia is supposed to be very nice.
Croatia's gorgeous, too.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the Game of Thrones stuff was filmed in Croatia.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a lot.
All those, like, you know, like beautiful waterfront, you know,
yeah.
shots, though, it's all Croatia.
People are talking about it like it's the place to go.
It is.
Yeah? yeah.
It's gorgeous.
I think that, I see a period piece with armor in your future.
I think so. I think I can kind of, yeah, in that fantastical realm. Listen, all right, that's what I want to do. I want to be in, you know, some kind of fantasy franchise. I was a huge fantasy geek growing up, so I want to.
Like which ones?
I don't know. I mean,
comic stuff?
Well, yeah, some comic stuff. I mean, obviously, it's like, you know, Red Watchmen and
yeah,
you know. Sandman
no Marvel.
Series.
Oh, Sandman. Yeah,
yeah.
I loved a Sandman.
Yeah, me too.
Hellblazer. I got the Sandman through Hellblazer.
Oh, nice. Oh,
I was a big Hellblazer guy. But Hellblazer. I'm not a comic guy, but Hellblazer and Sandman I enjoyed.
Yeah, 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 definitely. I know. I'm not a huge comic book
Yeah, but
guy
I like
either,
the Alan Moore stuff.
You know?
And
so
I
want, when I
Neil
start
Gaiman.
To do, yeah, Gotham, I, yeah. you know, got all these people being like, do you know the character? You know? And I do know the character, so.
Which character?
Well, I played this character named Victor Zsasz,
oh, okay.
who was like,
Gotham.
Yeah, he like, every time he killed someone, he would carve a tally into his skin.
Yeah.
Super mellow guy,
yeah.
you know?
But the nerds were like on you about it?
Yeah, they were on me about it, but I'd done my research.
You
know,
to defend yourself.
I had to
defend
myself.
I do know it. I know
yeah,
it.
People are really intense these days about it. It's a very big deal if you're playing one of these characters.
You go to Comic-Con?
No, I haven't been, no. But, I mean, I've been to certain cons. I mean, they yeah. happen all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
What's happening now? We're yeah. in one. This is one.
This is one right now. Cool. Where do I sign?
You're going to do a picture and you're going to print exactly. it up and then you
yeah.
sign it.
Yeah. You want to take a picture?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Come here.
Come here. Tommy, turn the flash off. Tommy, God, turn the flash off. Tommy, you're doing a video.
It's on live.
Tommy,
it's
you're doing a video. But I don't know. I had a great time with that one because I just, you know, first of all, I was so angry.
Yeah.
Like, this was one of the first jobs that I got when I was told, you're not going to do it.
Yeah,
it's not
going to
happen for you.
It's over for you, Baldy.
So I was so pissed. Yeah, I was just like, I'm going to march into that room
yeah.
and I'm just going to like
yeah.
own everyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that I had a good fire in my belly for that.
That's great. And so outside of Barry, is there other stuff happening?
There's some stuff happening. I can't talk about too much of it right now, but
you've done or you're about to do.
Some of it I'm in the midst of doing. Some of them I'm about to do. But I'm really just ramping up for Barry season 3. I've got some press to do for this fatherhood movie.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So
well, it's great talking to you.
It's great talking to you too.
Do you like your family Irish?
Well, my dad's from England, but like, yeah, I mean, I'm Irish English mix. Yeah.
But not, you don't go back to Ireland.
No, anymore. No.
You don't have family.
No, not yet.
I like Ireland.
I'm really excited to go. I mean, I've missed, like, if there's one thing the pandemic taught me, it's just like travel everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I've gotten
as soon as we're
point.
Able to.
I went down to see my mother as soon as I got through the vaccine.
Really?
Right? Yeah, in Florida.
Oh, in Florida.
And then I
nice.
Went to New Mexico to see my dad. And, you know, after I got, you know, outside of the 2 weeks.
Yep,
and
exactly.
It was okay. It was a little weird. It's still a little weird.
It's still
Everything's
weird. It's still weird, and I think it's
we
like
even...
as long as you can just be like, shh, you know, it's gonna be weird.
We don't even know what the world looks like really yet. You know, like in terms of what survived, what didn't, what economically, what's going to happen.
No, I mean, we're like, all
we have no idea.
No, I think it's just a matter of like, you know, this has taught us a lot, and has we're it? All.
What did we learn?
Well, I don't know if
we learned that we can, you know, do a lot of what we need to do without doing it with people.
That's right. We can do a lot of stuff from home. You know, but I don't know. I feel like we're also entering into a phase of like, we haven't even reached the kind of like PTSD. I've been talking to so many people who have like such anxiety and depression and panic attacks.
I've been doing that on stage, talking about like, we have to engage with this.
You got to.
Because it's we're going to be fucked.
We can't go. I mean, there's,
you can't,
you know,
just
there
plow
was,
on.
No.
Act like nothing happened.
You
like
can't act like nothing
a
happened.
Glitch.
And anyone who is full
it's a little
shit.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird to watch comics too. Who just
really?
Are sort of picking up, you know, like, you know, they're just doing 15-minute relationship chunks, and we're like, nothing?
Yeah.
It's over a year.
Yeah. Or they're just doing their old set, you know?
Kind of, some of them.
Be like, hey, how about,
Yeah.
You know, how about football?
Yeah,
right. Am I right?
Exactly.
Remember football?
Yeah. It's a little bizarre, like, to see how it's going to work.
But I know.
I'm just like panicking.
Yeah.
For my first 10 minutes is just sort of like, do you know what we were doing a year ago? Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think as long as we all kind of take care of each other and remind each other that shit's just weird.
Yeah.
And that it's okay to be freaked out. It's okay to be, you know,
right.
Just questioning who we all are right now.
Yeah.
It's a totally normal thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's like that moment during the pandemic. You're like, who am I?
Yeah. Yeah, like, who am I? But also, like, all of these things that usually people can keep at bay.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Of, like, the kind of, like, you know, people who would kind of busy themselves with a 9-to-5, they never had to think about this stuff. And then all of a sudden, they're flung into their homes for, like, extended periods of time.
Yeah.
And those, you know, I always said that, like,
left their families.
It's not like a zombie movie.
Exactly. Right.
It's not like a zombie movie where, like, you know, you're too busy running away from the zombies for your, you know, for your anxiety or your depression to take over.
Yeah.
It's like all that stuff is amplified.
Sure.
You know, big time.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have a wife and kids during this thing.
I know. It'd be intense, man.
Oh, my God.
It'd be intense.
Either they're all a lot closer now.
Yeah.
Or things have gone wrong.
Or they have diverged.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think you're right, though. I think if we can all be supportive and also try to not engage the monsters.
Exactly. And there's no shortage of them. But
it's crazy, right?
It is. It's nuts. But
do you ever go back to Boston?
Yeah, I mean, I do.
Who's there?
My mom and both my sisters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're on the North Shore now.
Oh yeah.
Ipswich.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. So I mean, I get back. You know, I get back as much as I can. I try and be a good son.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish I had more reasons to go back to New England, but I never just go.
You don't ever do like the any more of the comedy circuits up
there?
No,
I do. I'll do like I did. Where'd I perform there last time? I do that one. What is it? Now I'm forgetting. The Wilbur.
Oh yeah.
I'll do the Wilbur sometimes, and I was going to shoot my special there, but we had a technical issue. But I don't know. It's one of those places where I spent years there.
Yeah.
And I never sort of like I got to get back there. I don't do it.
Yeah.
It's so different. Like, I went to college in Boston. I started my career in Boston later, many years later.
Yeah.
Doing those one-nighters and stuff. But, like, that whole city is nothing like I remember it. It's totally different. Most of it's been erased.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's changed a
huge Kenmore
amount.
Square, like, was a defining place for me, and now it's like, it's just nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It's bizarre.
No, I know. I mean, I used to remember, like, going to Somerville, you know.
Yeah, I was in Somerville. I was on Cottage Ave in an attic. Before it became, like, cool.
Before it became cool.
Yeah,
I know. There were all these places, you know, like Sacco's Billiards and, like, places I would just go and hang out. Yeah.
Isn't it called Mike's Pizza right there
Mike's
in the
Pizza?
Middle?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's that weird, that what was that train car? You remember that train car that was there? It was like a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was another one, a restaurant that opened at like 2 a.m. called K and Chips or something. This weird fucking place, might have been before your time. I never understood it, but it didn't open until the middle of the night.
Oh,
it was
a very bizarre place. I used to go to Bickford's.
Oh, is that the one that was the counter?
Yeah, that was the chain that was like close to us. So, you know, used to have like theater rehearsal and then go party, and then we would all go to Bickford's late night.
In Somerville?
Let me see.
I was in Davis Square.
Yeah, I love Davis Square.
Yeah, but there was, back in the day when I was there, there was like one of those restaurants where you get a tray, slide it. You know,
it wasn't like that. Yeah. This was a diner. Yeah, this is a diner. Foods. But you know, I'll head back at some point. Hopefully, just calm my nervous system down enough to enjoy it.
feel your hackles get up. Landing at Logan, like here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Here. Just like, you know, let go of my curled fist. You know.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's good talking to you, buddy.
It's great talking to you, too. Appreciate it.
Anthony Carrigan, great story, great guy, funny. Got some good laughs. I enjoy the good laughs these days. Barry is another season, is forthcoming. The film you can see him in now is called Fatherhood, starring Kevin Hart. You can stream it starting this Friday, June 18th. And now let's entertain with some music. Everywhere. And that was fucking take two, man.